morning. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're taking a look at the Columbus restaurant scene on All Sides Weekend. Joining me this morning, WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak and Bethia Wolf of Columbus Food Adventures. And I'm so happy to have both of you here at the table this morning.
It's good to be here, Marilyn. Pardon the voice.
Yes, you have a little, we'll have to do some vocal exercises.
That's right.
Or something. One of the bright spots of summer, of course, is that the farmers markets begin to open up. Are we seeing them in full bloom?
We're definitely not at the height of growing season. It's a little early for sweet corn right. and tomatoes. But I think, and some of those things are going to be a little bit later this year, I think, because of all the rain we had. But definitely.
Hopefully we'll have some corn.
Yeah. definitely a lot of, there is a lot of great produce at the markets already. I went to check out the new Eastern Farmers Market yesterday.
And where
looked
is
very big. You know, they had a picture in the paper. It's behind Fado.
Yeah, it's just across the street from West Elm. So it's in the parking lot by where Potbelly's used to be. It's going to be a new Piada. I'm not sure when it's opening. But it's pretty big. There was a lot of different range of produce yesterday, all the kind of spring things, asparagus, strawberries, greens, plants, and then baked goods, prepared foods. So a lot of different, a lot of variety.
And does it change regularly, or are the same people typically showing up?
Well, you know, I was thinking it might be a good idea to coordinate all these. They all seem to occur on Thursday. There's one at New Albany, there's one at Easton, and there's one in Bexley during the same time period. So they're fighting for the merchants, and it would be good, kind of in the French way, to have, you know, Bexley on Tuesday and New Albany on Wednesday or whatever.
There are some that happen on other days of the week. I think the Upper Arlington ones and the Dublin ones are on Wednesdays. So I think the aim is that they're trying to target, you know, just people in those communities. In terms of the merchants at the Eastern one, the ones that I spoke to and asked them, they said they were planning to be there every week. So I think it's a fixed lineup that people had to commit to doing the season. But there may be some variation.
And there are also markets downtown in addition to the North Market, I think, in a couple of the alleys downtown.
Right. Just west of the main office tower, state office tower. Every Wednesday?
The Pearl Alley Market is on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Okay.
And then there's a new downtown market as well, which is at Columbus Commons, and that is on Wednesday lunchtime. So there's three different downtown farmers markets now.
How was the one at Columbus Commons? I didn't get over there.
I haven't made it there yet, but it sounds a lot of fun. They're doing what they call lunch on the lawn. So it's a market and then food trucks, and then they have their regular concession stand that's open as well. So, and I believe there's music and kind of different entertainments going on too.
And where are the food trucks?
At the Columbus Commons?
Yes. Or, but I mean, what part of the park?
I think there's like a kind of an access road park driveway on the south side. That's certainly where they had them seem to be parked for the opening ceremonies.
292-8513, we're talking about food and the Columbus restaurant scene on All Sides Weekend. My guest this morning, Bethia Wolf of Columbus Food Adventures, and Rich Terapak, who does restaurant reviews here at WOSU. Speaking of downtown, we have some new restaurants, I understand, opening or about to open.
Yeah, there's going to be a new Mojo Lounge that's opening across from Columbus Commons, and that is going to be a little bit more restaurant-focused than the current Mojo Lounges. And they have the chef, William Fugate, who's taken kind of over their executive chef role. So that, I think, will be exciting. And then there's another new restaurant that's going to be in the Sotomayor Park when it opens as well. And then I've heard that there's something new opening up in the Brownstone that's coming, and just rumors of a couple of other...
And that's around Main Street.
Mm-hmm. And then a couple of other restaurants opening downtown as well. So it seems like the downtown dining scene is really evolving.
Thank goodness for those of us who work downtown.
Yeah.
I hope they're open for lunch. But I was wondering if the idea of the food trucks around the park, the new park, is a great idea. Are they going to be there on occasions other than the events? You know, just to have, you know, a couple of trucks at lunchtime and encourage downtown workers would be a wonderful idea.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's a plan for that at the moment. I also hope that they will, and I've kind of been talking to some people trying to encourage the city to support food trucks. Baltimore, Maryland, they have a new plan for their food trucks where they allocate a certain number of metered parking spaces. So between like 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., those spaces are for food trucks only, and it probably only at, you know, 5 or 6 spots around the city, but it gives you like a small zone for trucks, and I hope that Columbus will adopt something similar.
That's a good plan. I hope somebody from City Hall is listening.
And perhaps gives them a reduced meter rate as well, since it's about a quarter for 4 minutes or something on some of the streets downtown.
There's obviously you know, a balance that they're trying to get downtown, because they don't want to take businesses away from the existing restaurants. I think trying to pick the spots wisely, and this is why it could be good coordination, because if you have the spots in areas that aren't as accessible for restaurants and are underserved, then I think it can be a good thing.
And there's really not much that close in close proximity to the Commons right now. We've got Little Palaces probably, and Dirty Franks are probably the closest.
Yeah, and then south of that, the Jury Room.
Yeah, so. But that's a few blocks south. So at least in the short term, while Mojo's and others get going, it'd be great to have them this summer around the park.
292-8513. We're talking about food and restaurants in Columbus, and Peg is joining us from Clintonville looking for a cozy Chinese restaurant. Go ahead.
Hi. We realized that we couldn't think of a really attractive, comfy Chinese restaurant with a bar that you could go and eat and relax, as opposed to being, you know, given your food really fast and encouraged to leave. So I thought I'd ask the experts.
Is there any particular style of Chinese food that you're looking for?
It's good quality. We like, you know, usually like spicy. But really, we're just looking for, you know, we really like Chinese food, and, you know, but want a place to match our liking so that we, you know, can enjoy staying there.
What's the one on Lane Avenue that opened about 6 months ago?
Yeah, we went there in December last year, I think.
And it certainly is cozy, and they didn't seem to be rushing people. I hope I can remember the name.
On Lane Avenue?
It's in the shops at Lane Avenue, and it's where Wolfgang Puck used to be, I think. And I'm drawing a blank on the name as well.
My favorite Chinese restaurant at the moment is Fortune Chinese. It's in the Olentangy University Plaza. And it changed ownership a few months ago, and it's now a Szechuan-focused restaurant. So if you like spicy, then it's going to be a good place. They serve beer. I think they don't have a full bar, but they do serve beer. And if you turn towards the back of the menu where they have the Szechuan menu and specialities, then I think that's some of the best Chinese food around.
Was it Royal Ginger? Was
this,
it
yes, I think
Royal
right.
Ginger. Yeah. And if you're looking for a place that, you know, has atmosphere and a large bar, it indeed has one of those. And it's nice. It's dark. It's cozy, and the food was good.
And that's in the shops at Lane Avenue. Yeah.
No, Royal Ginger not at Lane Avenue, is it?
I'm sorry.
Royal Ginger.
It's either Blue Ginger or Royal.
It's one
Ginger,
of the gingers.
One of the
in the old Wolfgang Puck location.
Okay, and you can avoid ginger, though, when you're eating there, or can't you?
They had a very extensive menu.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you'll find something.
Yeah.
Okay. So Blue Ginger is the same place as the Lane Avenue place? Is that what you're saying? Or there are two?
Well, we know there's a ginger's in the name on the Lane Avenue shop, and I apologize for not being able to come up with it. I thought it was Royal Ginger.
Okay. So we've got one.
Well, and then the one at Olentangy Plaza that Bethia talked about.
If you want it a little bit spicier, you might have to ask about issues as to ginger, because there is ginger in a lot of Szechuan.
Yeah.
It does provide some of the heat as well as the flavor.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling 292-8513. We're talking with Bethia Wolf of Columbus Food Adventures and Rich Terapak, who does restaurant reviews here at WOSU. And Jerry is joining us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Hunan Lion on Bethel Road.
Sure.
Best margarita I ever had in Columbus. Plus, the food is fantastic. But two questions. Is the Rose and Thistle on Chambers Road still in business?
Boy, that was in a little apartment complex, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah. It was down the lower level. The only place in Columbus that I knew that made pasties, the chef knew how to make pasties. And the other thing is, yesterday morning on the way back from a fishing trip up in northern Michigan, we stopped in Roscommon at a place called the Tin Fish Restaurant, the only one I ever knew of that makes potato pancakes in the right way in Columbus.
So you got pasties here and essentially latkes in Michigan. Good tip, because there are a lot of people who drive up north at this time of the year to fish or hang out by the Michigan shores.
Well, anyway, they've been making them a long time, and I've eaten there before, and potato pancakes the right way, thin, with applesauce. You can probably get them in Max and Irma's or in Schmidt's, but they probably don't make them. They're not supposed to be thick.
Yeah, you've got that right. They should be more like pancakes than hockey
thin,
pucks.
No thicker than a half a dollar or silver dollar or whatever. But if they make them right, they're fantastic. And yesterday morning, they made them right, and just great. And fishing was good too. And but this was we had a couple cabins right on the Au Sable River. And Blue Ribbon Trout Stream, plus two spring-fed lakes nearby that we fished and got smallmouth black bass. But if anybody knows where you can get pasties, the best place is two good places in the Upper Peninsula, Leto's, which is a few miles west of St. Ignace, and Murdoch's and Munising voted the best ones. And do you all know what pasties are?
Oh, sure. One of the problems here in town, I'm sure you could find some in Cleveland. You need a more significant Polish population than we have in Columbus, and that's part of the problem. You might be able to talk the people at the North Market into making them. The people right across from Purdue's who have various Polish products, and they've got great cabbage rolls that I'm sure you'd love. So.
I'm gonna say I can tell you lots of great places to get pasties, but unfortunately they're all in England. I haven't found any in Columbus.
Well, I think Jerry's into traveling. And I would suggest that you either call the Rose and Thistle or go and see if they have a website to see if they're still open.
I don't think they are.
292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu. We have a break coming up here in just a moment. So I think what we'll do, instead of taking a call, we have several on the line, is talk about a couple little things that are going on. And it's probably not a little thing to Mozart's, but they're opening an ice cream store where Denise's ice cream used to be.
Yeah, it's called the Vienna Ice Cafe. It's due to open on the 1st of July, and I think it's great to see something else, you know, going into that space that's offering a similar product.
Similar product, for yeah.
People in South Clintonville that want to get their ice cream fix.
And Jenny, speaking of ice cream, Jenny's is having her pre-release book kickoff, I guess, at the Wexner Center, I think, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. And... The book looks great. If you buy the video copy of the book, the ebook copy of the book, it comes with a lot of great how-to videos. And for anybody that wants to try making ice cream at home, there's a lot of great recipes, how to make your own cones, ice cream, sundaes, all kinds of stuff.
And that's tomorrow night at the Wexner Center at Ohio State. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Like the rest of the media, we here at Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me have decided to stop being distracted by silly stories and faux celebrity. From now on, we're only going to talk about serious issues like, oh, wait, look, Sarah Palin just got off her bus. Somebody tweet a picture. I'm Peter Sagal. Join us for the news quiz that's easily distracted. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me begins tomorrow morning at 11 here on 89.7 NPR News. 69 degrees with cloudy skies in downtown Columbus. There is still a chance of a shower or thunderstorm today. We could see some sunshine this afternoon, too, and a high of 86. A chance of rain tonight after midnight, a low of 69 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms for Saturday, and a high of 88.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Westcott House, Frank Lloyd Wright's prairie-style house in Springfield, celebrating its architect's birthday with big band, dancing, and live auction tomorrow evening at 7. More information at westcotthouse.org.
All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
And good morning, I'm Marilyn Smith. We're here with WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak and with Bethia Wolf of Columbus Food Adventures. And we have lines open for you as well, 292-8513. And Bethia, during the break, you mentioned that you'd been suddenly struck with an idea for Peg in Clintonville, who called very early on about a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, another recommendation of a Chinese restaurant that has a well-equipped bar is the Panda Inn on Bethel. So it's in the Bethel Center, just on the corner there by Cafe Shish Kebab, and they have they have great food, and I know they also have a bar.
Okay, thanks. And 292-8513, you can reach us at WOSU or all sites at WOSU.org if you'd rather email. Don is joining us from the West Side. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I have a I'm assuming restaurant owners are listening to you, but I have an absolute agitated complaint regarding the presentation of salad. For some reason, we get this perfectly mounded salad on a bowl where one fork put in and one piece of lettuce, the whole salad's all over the table. What further compounds the problem is, what kind of dressing do you want? Well, then you get a cup of it right on top of the salad. Now, how are you supposed to get the salad mixed with the dressing without scattering it around the table?
One of the things that I usually do, just by way of habit, because sometimes when dressed, particularly in a moderately priced restaurant, they come with a little bit too much salad dressing. That's frequently a problem with we Americans. So I ask for it on the side, and then essentially pour on as best you can, a portion, and you can't mix it up, but at least it keeps it from splashing all over the table.
I guess another option is the European style of eating salad, and to eat your entree first and then put the salad onto your plate afterwards, and then you have plenty of space to mix it around on your plate. But I agree, it doesn't really solve the problem of them giving you too much salad in a tiny bowl.
I love to do that at dinner parties, serve the salad after the main course, and people go, what's this?
Well, thanks for your concern this morning, and perhaps restaurant owners are listening, and we'll take Don's advice to heart. 292-8513. And Pat from Columbus is joining us about wind chimes. Hi.
I have a recommendation for the people looking for an Asian restaurant with a bar, and that is Wind Chimes on France Road.
And that's toward Dublin, right?
Yes.
Okay. And what's special about Wind Chimes?
Well, it's the food is very good. It's reasonably priced. I've never felt rushed there. And they do have a bar.
Well, I guess that pretty much fulfills all of Peg's requirements. Mm-hmm. We also have someone who called in who preferred to leave a message that Blue Ginger on Sawmill, Royal Ginger on Lane Avenue are also a couple of good choices.
Right.
And for Jerry, the Rose and Thistle, sorry to say, is closed. And we also had an inquiry from Larry this morning who wants to know what pasties are.
Well, the pasties that I know are Cornish pasties traditionally, and it is a pastry that has usually a meat and potato filling inside, but you can get different varieties like cheese and potato. And so it's folded up. It's not too dissimilar from something like an empanada. I think a lot of different cultures have something similar, a savory pastry. In India, you have samosas. Somalis have sambusas. So it's a fairly kind of global concept. It's a snack that you can carry around with you. And the history is that the Cornish miners used to take them for lunch, and they could take them down in the mines with them.
Easy to make, Rich?
No. tedious. It's kind of like, I guess, the European and particularly, I guess, British. Well, I was thinking of pierogi. I got to apologize. Mm. I was thinking of pierogi earlier. Same kind of thing, almost the dim sum of the Western cultures.
292-8513. Dane is joining us this morning from Newark, who would like to have a suggestion for a special dinner. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah. My anniversary is coming up, and me and my wife, our tastes are all over the place, but we're kind of looking for some place either Japanese or Italian, but not like over the top, like, you know, like we don't want it to be like ridiculously like romantic kind of thing. Anything you
how long have you been married?
exactly.
I have. So Japanese or Italian is what you're looking for?
Yeah.
Well, Japanese, I would say my number one place and where I like to go for special occasions is Kihachi Restaurant, which is on Federated Boulevard, just off Sawmill. And it's a very traditional Japanese restaurant. You know, if you really, you know, depending on what your budget is, you can do the omakase menu, which is a chef's tasting menu where you just leave it up to the chef to prepare a kind of nine-course dinner for you. Or you can order a la carte off the menu, and every day they have their specials written in Japanese. And the server will translate them for you. They get things flown in from Japan and Hawaii on different fish and shellfish. Also, Akahana is very popular, which is Old Kenny and Henderson is another great choice for a Japanese restaurant. And then Italian, depends if you're looking for American Italian style or if you're looking for more kind of Italian, kind of regional Italian. But my recommendations for a kind of special occasion would be Bossi Italia, Rigsby's, or Cibo, which is on just off Henderson.
Yeah, I think if you
Reed Road, yeah. Reed and Henderson. That's
Reed and Henderson. Yeah, just about half a block. It's a new strip, about a half a block south of Henderson. Some of the other alternatives that are a little less expensive. La Playa in Columbus Square is more regional.
I think that's expensive.
Do you think it's expensive?
Yeah. When I look at the menu, And that one actually, for all of these, I would say probably I would recommend making a reservation if it's a special occasion. But I know La Playa is very strict about reservations.
How about Scali's if he's on these?
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Out in the Pickerington area, a restaurant called Scali's gets high marks by everyone. And it's kind of a
more traditional American Italian.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, happy anniversary day.
Thank you.
I hope your wife feels the same way.
You might want to think about flowers.
Don't go overboard. 292-8513. And Laura is joining us with a question about Korean food. Good morning. You with us?
Yeah. I was wondering if there's a good – I moved up here about 7 months ago from Cincinnati. I'm looking for, like, a really great – traditional Korean restaurant, preferably on the east side of town.
There are quite a lot of Korean restaurants in Columbus. Actually, if it's okay, if I kind of mention one of our websites that we do, we have a website called Alt Eats Columbus, and I think we have almost all of the Korean restaurants in Columbus on there, and some of the markets as well.
That's Alt.
Yeah, Alt Eats Columbus. And there's a tab on the side you can look at Korean, and we have a lot of different restaurants posted there. There's a couple of Korean restaurants near campus, Diaspora and Japanese Oriental, which despite the name is Korean-owned. But then the rest of the Korean restaurants really cluster around the Bethel Road area. Bethel and Henderson, Reed Road, kind of that area. I can't think of any that are out on the east side.
I found a couple on Bethel, but I was hoping for something a little closer to home.
Yeah, I can't think. One thing that's worth checking, sometimes there are Japanese restaurants, you know, restaurants that are called Japanese that will also have a Korean menu. Some of the Japanese restaurants are owned by Koreans. So there may be some places that have some Korean dishes on the menu that are more convenient for you, but really they kind of tend to cluster in that sort of northwest area. Okay. There's a couple of Korean barbecue places, Kaya and Sansu, and then there's quite a few other restaurants that have Korean menus but without the barbecue tables.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, it does. And just a quick comment. The guy that called about the salad, this will probably sound kind of silly, but when I get salad with dressing on the side, I dip my fork in the dressing and then get the salad on my fork, and that way it's not a huge mess all over the table.
Mm-hmm. I was going to recommend that.
That's definitely a good suggestion.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for your call this morning, Laura. We have a couple of emails on Facebook from John. He recommends Clever Crow Pizza sourdough cornbread, hand-formed crust, excellent vegan options, and house-cured meats, on and on. And the Clever Crow, I think, is in some, it's in a club, actually.
Well, actually, it's in North Market now.
Yeah, they have two locations now. During the day, you can find them at the North Market, and you can get either, you know, pizza to eat at the North Market, or you can get take-and-bake pizzas. Or you can go in the evening to the Circus Bar, which is near High and Fifth, and you can have pizza there as well.
So you can buy it by the slice at the market?
Yeah.
Last time I went, they were just doing it by the half pizza, so they didn't have it by the slice. I don't know. They were doing it by the slice at the market, so I don't know if that was just happened to be the day we were there.
292-8513. We're talking about food and restaurants here in Columbus. And we have a call from Mary, who has a question about cuisines that may be lacking. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to ask if you thought there was a particular cuisine that's underrepresented in Columbus. Anything out there?
I mean, there's some that we don't have at all. I would say Moroccan. I don't think we have any Moroccan food really in Columbus. And Sri Lankan. Those are the two that I would personally like to see. But I think we do have a very broad range of, you know, different ethnicities of food in Columbus and increasing. And certainly we're seeing a lot more diversity of African restaurants, which is really interesting.
It's certainly over the last 25 years, it's gone from zero to 60. You know, there are so many more ethnic restaurants. I was trying to scratch. I think we don't have a Finnish restaurant around. You can't get lutefisk here, but
not so much Scandinavian. But I think they're pretty uncommon in
it's
general.
Kind of a tough menu to get close to.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much for your call this morning. We also have an inquiry from Scott. He'd like to know what's going on in the old Rally's location at the corner of Bethel and Sawmill. I can't even picture the corner of Bethel and Sawmill right off the top of my head.
Traffic.
Plenty of that. Also, the old Boston Market, Einstein Bagel location on Bethel near 315, and that's up in this sort of corridor with all sorts of places up on Bethel Road.
There's one, if it's the location I think he means, that is just across from the Columbus Asian Market. I believe that there is a Japanese sushi place going in there. So I think if that's one he means on Bethel. The one that's over by Sawmill, I'm not sure. That one, yeah.
It'd be fun to study over a year's time how many openings and closings we have on Bethel and Sawmill or anything within a half-mile radius.
There seems to be kind of a trend at the moment of new restaurants moving into old fast food places, which is kind of fun to see, and some of the ethnic restaurants moving in, you know, Somali coffee shops and different, you know, kind of African restaurants, Mexican, moving into old fast food places, and then, you know, some of them being torn down and replaced with other things.
And I think that was the case a couple of years ago at King and Northwest Boulevard, a Thai restaurant that went in, Thai at Wendy's, an old Wendy's location
Wendy's.
There.
And then there's a Vietnamese place on Lane Avenue that's in an old Taco Bell. And so it's kind of fun to see these kind of buildings transitioning.
292-8513, and we're taking calls this morning from you if you have any questions about restaurants or the food scene here in Columbus. One of the things that we haven't mentioned yet is this so-called food play, which I believe is going on at the North Market, began June 2nd, and I'm not sure if it's a nightly event or...
I think there are 8 or 9 performances in total. There's 2 left. There's 1 tonight and 1 tomorrow night. It's the final show. Each show involves a different guest or guests that they interview. Tonight is Warren Taylor from Snowville Creamery. Tomorrow is Michael Jones, who heads up Local Matters. And the interview is a small, I guess, but significant part of the show, and the rest of it is a mixture of skits and storytelling and different kind of performances. It's put
all
on by
food.
Yeah, all about food, but it's put on by the Available Light Theater. And it's a great production, kind of nice intersection of art and food and issues in the food system.
And is there food available?
Yes, there is. There's ice cream sandwiches from Jenny's, there is some other kind of local foods. The food changes each night depending on who the guest is. They're trying to do something that fits with the interviewee.
Tonight could be a good one with Snowville Creamery.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be plenty of Snowville milk there tonight.
292-8513. Greg is joining us this morning. Hi.
Hey, good morning. Just a comment on a gentleman that's having the anniversary. In Gahanna, a boss of mine took me out to eat at a place called Lola's.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, just an incredible little place. And they said that they don't have a freezer, so they have to get their food every day fresh. And then the gentleman, the husband, he's from the old country of Italy, so they have an incredible red sauce. But I thought, wow, if he wanted real authentic Italian in just a charming little place, that would definitely be the place to go.
With very friendly service by the cooks or the chefs. Wife was out among the crowd all the time. It's right on the main drag. If you can locate Gahanna Pizza Plus, it's in that same strip.
Which I had a lot of trouble with the time that we had lunch there. It is really a charming, lovely little place. It's open for lunch. Again, it's called Lola's, if Dane from Newark is still listening. And it's in Gahanna. And I think they make their own soup. Everything
their
pretty much
pasta,
is made, from scratch. Mm-hmm. So that'd be a great choice for an anniversary and not terribly pretentious. And as I recall, it was reasonable.
Yeah, it was indeed. And plentiful.
Yes. 292-8513. And Ed is joining us this morning. And he wants to ask a question about Jenny's in German Village.
Yes. They have just opened, it's probably been open about a month now, in part of the building that houses the brown bag. And they've got a limited selection, but they have it set up with a window, so you don't have to go inside. You can just walk up on the street and order. And also, would that Babushka's, I think it is the new Polish restaurant in the North End, would they have the potato pancakes also? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you very much for your call this morning.
Haven't been to Babushka's.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Babushka's has the potato pancakes.
I would think that's pretty much a staple in Polish restaurants, but no.
Or if you can find a Russian restaurant, you can find them there.
Oh, there used to be that lovely little Russian restaurant in Lane Avenue before it was turned into the standalone shops. It was a...
You can add Russian to the underrepresented cuisine. I think all of the Russian restaurants have closed.
And I think we have had questions about that in the past. 292-8513.
It's because borscht is an acquired taste, doesn't it?
And Lucy is joining us about Ming flour. Go ahead. You with us?
Hello.
Hello.
I don't know whether you're asking me. There's a restaurant in West Jefferson. It's called Ann and Tony's.
Okay. Yeah, I think your radio needs to be turned down because we can hear a lot of echo there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's called Ann and Tony's, and they make their own pastas and everything.
And whereabouts in West Jefferson?
It's just right at the edge of Route 40.
It's on Route 40, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's 15 minutes from Columbus.
Okay. And
they have steaks, they have fish, they have pasta, everything.
Okay, that might be a little far to drive from Newark, but it's still a good choice for those of us who don't have quite so far to go.
Yeah, from Columbus or anything.
And this is a long-time established restaurant out there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your call and your suggestion this morning. 292-8513. We're talking about food and restaurants, and we're going to take a little break here. We'll be back in just about a minute.
Drinking went underground during Prohibition, but under certain circumstances, you could drink legally. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Daniel Okrent about the rise and fall of Prohibition.
You could buy a prescription for $3 from your local physician and then take it to your local pharmacy and have it filled and go home with a pint of liquor every 10 days.
Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon on 89.7 NPR News. And Be sure to watch Columbus on the Record tonight at 8:30 on WOSU-TV. This week, News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson and his panel discuss a possible Ted Strickland-John Kasich rematch. Also, the Republican race for the U.S. Senate takes shape, and the Ohio Senate has a budget bill. That and more on Columbus on the Record tonight at 8:30 on WOSU-TV.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Midland Theater and its 2011-12 season with Deanna Martin's tribute to her father. Deanna Sings Dino, Sunday, June 12th. Single event and season tickets at midlandtheater.org.
It's just about 70 degrees in downtown Columbus. Cloudy skies. We could see a little bit of rain, about a 50% chance of rain this evening. A little bit of sunshine later today and a high near 86. There's a chance of rain after midnight tonight, a low of 69 degrees. And also a chance of rain for Saturday, a high of 88. All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Good morning, I'm Marilyn Smith. We are talking about Columbus restaurants and food here on All Sides Weekend. And before we go back to the phones, Bethia, we have a food fight coming up here in Columbus.
Yeah, this is something that's organized by the Central Ohio Restaurant Association that they do on an annual basis. It's one day that is kind of dedicated to raising money for the Mid-Ohio Food Bank's Operation Feed. And so it's June 21st. I believe. I gave you my notes. June 21st. And if you eat out at any of the participating restaurants on June 21st, 5% of your bill goes to Operation Feed. And they have the website. It's www.foodfighthunger.com. And it has the list of all of the restaurants. It includes everything from, you know, hot dogs at Dirty Frank's, Bob Evans, the Betty's Family Restaurant Groups, and then places like G. Michael's, the Top Steakhouse, the Refectory.
It looks like quite a long list there.
Yeah, really long list of restaurants participating.
And a good variety, yeah.
And so you can go out, have a nice dinner and lunch, dinner, and then, you know that some of the money is going to help the hungry.
Once again, this is June 21st. It's Food Fight and Participating Restaurants. This is under the auspices of the Ohio Restaurant or Central Ohio,
Central Ohio Restaurant Association.
Yeah. And I'm sure that they probably have information on their website.
But they don't let you throw the dinner roll.
No throwing the food.
No.
292-8513. And John from Reynoldsburg is on the line. Good morning.
Hi. I'd like to tell everybody good news on the east side. There's now an Indian restaurant where before we had to run clear across town to get good Indian food. The name of it is Temptations. It's on Bryce Road, just south of Main, across from the Kmart. And I've been there four times. They've only been open about a month, and everything's been great and flavorful. I know a lot of times the ethnic restaurants kind of tone it down for American taste, but theirs is really flavorful, and I don't mean hot because they'll adjust the heat, but the spices are good and flavorful.
Okay, so this is on the east side. Did you tell us where?
Bryce Road,
just south of Main. It's across from the Kmart.
Yeah, it gets a little bit of publicity when it opened, which I think was about 4 weeks ago, and I haven't been there yet, but I want to try it.
Yeah, you should. It's really good. And yeah, we want to keep it open so that we don't have to trek for it.
I'm an east sider. I hear you.
So,
well, thanks very much for that suggestion, 292-8513. And Brian has been holding for a while. Good morning.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for letting me call in. Love your show. Big fan of food. So
Most humans are fans of food.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really a fan of food. It's a hobby of mine. But anyway, I'm a huge fan of ethnic food, too. I mean, specifically Asian. There's a big fan of Vietnamese as well as sushi and just a lot of the other, flares out there. But basically, just, Vietnamese, there's a very good Vietnamese restaurant that just opened up in Lewis Center. Now, I'm a big fan of, I don't know if you guys ever heard of pho.
Yeah, very familiar.
Big pho. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I look forward, around town. And, I live in Grandview, so a lot of times I just kind of stick around those areas. But I do a lot of business up in Lewis Center. There's a new place called Bon Ami.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a, it's one of those, like you had said, a fast food, a former fast food. It was a Charlie's Steakery. They took it over. It's quick, it's fresh, it's good. If you're in a hurry, you want to get some good pho, check it out. It's over there off of Columbus Pike near Walmart, of all places, but it's just right there, kind of next door. I'd encourage you guys to check it out.
Well, thank you very much for that suggestion this morning. You know, we are seeing so many of these restaurants pop up, I think, in the suburbs, because as the population kind of shifts, that seems so far away for those of us who live, you know, in the central city. But we are seeing a lot of places in Powell and Lewis Center and New Albany. And I guess it's just reflective of where all the people are moving to.
And the cost of gasoline.
Absolutely, yeah, if you don't want to have to come in to downtown.
And I think the effect of the food network is, you know, more people are interested in trying some of these, you know, different ethnic cuisines and becoming more familiar with the dishes. So I think, you know, partly location, but partly people's changing tastes. I had another recommendation for a caller from the East Side who was interested in Indian food. There is a really great place on Hamilton Road that is called Mecca Market. It's a Pakistani market, but it also has a restaurant. Part of the market is partitioned off as a restaurant. They do take out food and sit down. But they have fantastic tandoori dishes, you know, naan breads, biryanis, different things. And you can call ahead and order, you know, certain menu items, or you can just go and see what they happen to be cooking that day.
Where on Hamilton is it? Between...
It is South Hamilton.
Between Broad and Main, or south of Main Street?
South, okay. South of Main.
And we've had an inquiry from Fred in Worthington who wanted to know what happened to Evening Star. Apparently the restaurant closed suddenly this week. We have had inquiries about Evening Star. I believe it was up around Graceland before. I'm getting two puzzled looks, so if anybody who's listening has any idea, you can give us a call, 292-8513. David is with us. Good morning, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I have a suggestion. It's a drive-through off of, you guys familiar with Fujiyama, the big green roof?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So it's across the street, the side street, just north. You could walk across the street. But there's a branch of Portofino's Pizza. They collaborate with them inside of there. Now, they have a $5 pizza. I believe it's a 14-inch. And these guys will make it custom any way that you like. I've seen their ingredients. They make their dough in-house daily. And they also, they have the quality ingredients as well. And I've always had great experiences. The staff is very nice. It's usually one guy running it. But, again, with Little Caesars advertising the cardboard pizza for that price, it's great. It's been amazing. And you can't really lose with the $5. Bring two people and everyone will be filled up. So give it a shot if you can.
Good tip for these economic times. What kind of pizza is it? Thin crust?
Crust? The guy told me, my friend came out of town and was preaching Donato's, and he said, bring them in and I'll make the pizza any way you like. So they will do thin crust, I'm sure. But they make their own butter, garlic sauce, and they brush the crust. They put red pepper flakes, if you'd like, before it goes in the oven, so it blends in real good. It's like your own little pizza shop. It's amazing. So a few locals know about it, but I don't see crowds there. So it's a good secret.
Good. Customized pizza.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you very much for your call this morning, David. 292-8513. Mary Elizabeth is joining us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. We are driving from Cincinnati up to northern Ohio and just happened upon this wonderful program. I need to call VSU. But we're wondering, one of our favorite cuisines is Burmese, and it's really tough to find. Is there one in Columbus?
There isn't at the moment, but we do have an increasing Burmese population, and so we're hoping that it won't be too long before we see a Burmese restaurant. But at the moment, no, we don't have a dedicated Burmese restaurant.
What is it you like about Burmese food?
Let's see. Well, if you like Asian, it's that mix of kind of the mix of Indian and Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Or not Chinese, but more Vietnamese Thai. It's like a combo. And the combination, they have this national salad that includes fried garlic, cashews, mixed greens. That is just hot peas, just delicious.
That sounds good.
It does sound good.
Just a little bit different. And there's so many in San Francisco. I mean, they're just like common as dirt. And we've gotten addicted, but we haven't found one anywhere else.
Not yet, but hopefully. Hopefully
thank
it won't
you
be
very
too
much.
Long.
Thank you. And check with Bethia's website as well, Columbus Food Adventures, where you keep a list of restaurants and taco trucks and that kind of thing.
We do. Well, we have kind of we have a whole group of websites. The ethnic food one is restaurants are listed on Alt Eats Columbus.
That's ALT.
And we have a map on there. I think we're over 30 different nationalities of restaurants on there, and I think about 80 different listings. And then we have Taco Trucks Columbus. Taco Trucks, kind of that's their home where we map and list them. And then Street Eats Columbus, where we focus on some of the mobile vendors that don't usually have fixed locations.
She can't say this, but I can. I highly recommend you going to both of those. It's really well done, well organized, very comprehensive. And if the taco truck moves, Bethia will tell you.
There's a few new taco trucks out on the east side that we're in the process of adding onto our
list. Where are they?
I see now. Shouldn't have said that, should I? There's one on Livingston that's near you're going to have to wait and look on the website. We've got one of them up on there, and there's two more to come.
Good.
Thanks very much for your call this morning, Mary Elizabeth, and Dick is joining us about two great Oriental restaurants.
Yeah, I was going to recommend, you're talking first about adaptation of fast food. Eastern Bay on the River Road, right Riverside Drive, just south of Trebue, is in an old McDonald's. And it's a beautiful adaptation. Soft music, and it's very, very, has a nice feel to it. The staff is excellent. The line's attractively priced. The food, you can get a nice meal there for $10.
Good to know.
And they have a luncheon buffet for $7.95, but the staff is just fantastic. We eat there frequently. When you go there, mention you want your wine in a fat boy glass, and they'll know who I am. But the other one I was going to mention.
PHAT.
FAT. I didn't like their glasses, and they know me by name there, so they know which wine glass I like. The other one is Joey. I think it's Chung's out in Mill Run. Have you been there? It's Thai Chinese, and it's again beautiful restaurant. It is much larger, and they have banquet rooms and everything. And the cocktail lounge is spectacular. It's all bright aluminum inside. It's worthwhile stepping into and looking at. And this, again, the staff is very, very friendly. The food's again reasonably priced, and it's really a great restaurant.
And whereabouts in Mill Run?
It's I think on the north side.
And the name again, I'm sorry.
Joey Chung. Chung's, I think it is. Chang's or Chung's, I can't ever remember.
Okay.
But both of those restaurants don't have happy hour anymore. And one of my big bugaboos is restaurants that have happy hour in the bar but won't serve it in the restaurant. And we've complained about that. We ate in a restaurant last night, and my wife threatened to go up to the bar. And we've done that in places and picked up the wine for $2 less and taken it out to the table. I mean, that's probably illegal, but for $4, if you're going to drink a couple glasses of wine. I have a question. There's a new restaurant opened up about a year ago in the middle of Old Arlington. What is the name of that, and is it still there?
Is it Park Creek Bistro?
Park Creek Kitchen.
Yeah. I believe it's still there.
Yeah.
Has anybody
been there in a
that?
While, but we thought it was excellent.
Get the
bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, which has, I think, a pound of bacon.
A rasher, yes.
And what's the name again, please?
Park Creek Kitchen.
Park Creek Kitchen.
Right. It's on Arlington Avenue.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call.
Persevere, because they're doing something to the street, and so the parking is not too convenient. It is open, and you can approach it. At least that was the case about a month ago. There was some newspaper coverage of how those merchants were kind of closed off.
292-8513. We have just about 5 minutes here this morning. Frank is joining us. He wants to know what's going on in the old Goody Boy on High Street. Frank?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You've probably been on hold so long, you're napping.
No, that's okay. Yeah, on High Street, the Goody Boy there, I noticed that it's under construction and they're putting it back together. And I was wondering if it's going to be a diner. And I have one more suggestion. Need on High near the North Market is a great little restaurant, has great beers, and has great versions of a Cuban sandwich as well as pork tacos.
And this is Need, K-N-E-A-D.
Yeah,
as in
bread. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a rather limited menu, but it changes pretty much every day, I think.
Actually, they've expanded the menu recently. So there's a lot more variety, especially at lunch. They've really expanded the menu. And then yesterday they added some new menu items, including the Need a Burger, which is a burger with pulled pork and all kinds of stuff on it. And it's really, really good.
are really, really busy keeping up with all of these.
In terms of the Goody Boy, what I've heard, and I haven't seen anything official, is that Jimmy V's is the owner of that property now. And I heard a rumor that it was going to be Italian, but I really haven't, like I say, I haven't seen anything official about that, so I'm not sure what kind of menu. But it looks like they're really, you know, improving and expanding the building, so hopefully that will be more viable now.
And this is on North High Street, sort of at the north end of the Short North.
Yeah, I think it's closer to Hubbard.
It's right by on the corner of 4th.
Oh, okay.
Fourth, that's right.
Yeah, 4th. That's what I was saying. 292-8513, thanks for your call this morning. Alan in Clintonville is here.
Yes, hi. I wondered what recommendations you all might have for vegetarian vegan restaurants. I know, of course, about Dragonfly and Loving Hut and Whole World, but I wonder if there are any others that we haven't stumbled on yet.
In terms of dedicated?
Or exclusive?
Well, it's not open yet, but Patty Cake Bakery is trying to open a new cafe next door to them. So I think that will be a great addition when that's open. Udupi Cafe, if you like Indian food, is a great option. Or Dosa Corner is another South Indian food that's everything vegetarian, but some vegan items. Sole Bistro, which is a Somali restaurant, I know has been mentioned on the show before. They have some great vegetarian options.
What's the name of that one?
Sole, S-O-L-A-Y.
Oh, okay.
They do like kind of a vegetarian plate that comes with injera bread, which is similar to the Ethiopian, with different vegetable dishes.
Columbus Square
shopping center. And there are some other places that will have one or two, you know, kind of vegan items.
So many restaurants, I think, are recognizing that it's important to have vegan items on the menu. And I think I've been seeing more frequently, it's not just one or two things, but, you know, maybe five or six.
Mm-hmm.
But exclusively vegan, quite frankly, it's a tough market for a restaurateur to maintain. Dragonfly has probably been the best at hanging on in this.
A lot of Middle Eastern restaurants will have kind of eggplant-based dishes and certain menu items that you can choose as well. It's hard.
Thanks very much for your call this morning. We just have a short time left. And Brooks from German Village, you're on the line.
I had some clients that flew in from Vietnam that wanted to have lunch, so I had to make a call on where to take them, and I took them to Hoang, H-O-U-N-G, I think it is, at 1270 Morse Road, and they said that it was absolutely perfect. So when I have clients coming directly from Vietnam that go to a Vietnamese restaurant in Columbus and say that it was as good as anything they'd ever had, I think we ought to put that on the air.
Yeah, I agree.
Hoang is a great restaurant. It's one of the Vietnamese restaurants in town. It probably has one of the fullest menus. I think it's H-U-O-N-G, but it is a great option. Another Vietnamese place I'd recommend is Luke's, which is a market out on the west side, Sullivan Avenue.
And how do you spell it?
Luke's, L-U-C, apostrophe S.
And Indochine.
Of course, Hamilton.
Yeah. And, Mealy Cafe, throwing a fourth one. Those are, I think, probably the top four for Vietnamese.
Thank you both very much this morning, WOSU restaurant critic Rich Terapak and Bethia Wolf of Columbus Food Adventures. Be sure to visit her website. We'll be back again July 1st. And this is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, WOSU 820 Columbus. Streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News. A service of WOSU Public Media. News from NPR is next. It's 12 o'clock.